Good afternoon, everybody. Before we start the proceedings officially, I'll just do the warm-up, as it were. How many of you have, let's put it this way, how many of you are new to attending a hearing of the Portland City Council? If you're new, raise your hand. Okay. So for the rest of you, this will be just a friendly reminder. This is a this room is different than some other places in the city. This is a room where we work really hard to make sure that all points of view are presented as it relates to what's on the agenda. And for that reason, we don't allow clapping, we don't allow cheering, we don't allow anything that would chill or intimidate somebody from choosing to sign up and speak to their city council and to offer a point of view that might be different than other people in the room. So if it happens once, it can happen again. If I allow it to happen in any particular hearing, it can have an impact on following hearings. So I really ask you, no matter how passionate that you are about your point of view, that in this room, this is about actually listening. Now, if you just, you can't, you know, stay perfectly still like a statue and you want to express your reaction to who's ever talking, you do it non-verbally. You can do this. You can do this. There's also this. There's also this. So let's all practice that. Let's practice the thumbs up. Everybody, thumbs up. Okay, now thumbs down. Now thumbs down. Now this. And then what was the new one? This. Okay. And I really want to underscore that. Portland is known for facilitating vigorous debate. And if you're here to speak against these resolutions, I especially want you to feel comfortable to present it. And I want everyone in the audience to be perfectly quiet if there is anyone here to speak against either of the three topics. The other thing is we call in order that people sign up. The sign-up sheet is still out on the little table out there. I'm going to, depending on how many people sign up, it's either 2 or 3 minutes. We have found that which can be said in 3 minutes in a very effective fashion can be said even more effectively in a minute. But I will probably, if we have a lot of people signed up, get you down to two. The other thing is we do have a local law that requires you to disclose if you're a lobbyist. If you're authorized to speak on behalf of any other business or nonprofit or advocacy groups. If not, then you just give us your name. I don't want your address. I don't want your phone number. I don't want your email address, except for you, Jim. I don't want anybody. We just need your name. And if you're a lobbyist, then you let us know you're a lobbyist. My helpful advice on that is if you're well-known and to be associated with another group and you're not here to speak on their behalf, then it's probably just sort of wise to say, although I might be well-known for something, I'm here to speak for myself. What did I miss? I think that's it. So with that, can you please call the roll, and we will come to order.
Fritz?
Here.
Fish? Saltzman? Leonard?
Here.
Adams.
Here. Quorum is present. We shall proceed. And I just make a note. Commissioner Fish had intended to be here today. I've been out sick for the last 3 days, and unfortunately, I think he has the bug now. And Commissioner Saltzman has had a pre-existing conflict on this particular day. Can you please read time certain item number? It is a resolution. We will be voting on it today, potentially. Item number 48.
Establish as a position that the City of Portland praises United States troops and their families, applauds the end of the Iraq War, and supports the further drawdown of troops in Afghanistan, with funds being redirected to domestic priorities.
So item number 48 and 49 actually relate directly to item 50. Every year, the City Council approves an agenda for advocacy and our lobbying to the federal government. That's contained in item 50, so 48 and 49 seek to amend the agenda, item number 50. So we will get to that after these first two. First, we will hear testimony on the Bring Our War Dollars Home resolution. I want to reiterate what you see repeated in this resolution, and that is our thanks, our sincere thanks to the men and women in uniform who serve on our behalf around the world. They do an incredible job serving our country. I want to applaud the President of the United States for officially ending the war in Iraq last month, December 18th. With our troops coming home, it is even more important that we continue to make our voices known about ending the war as soon as we possibly can, as soon as it is responsible in Afghanistan, and to use any savings, those savings, to domestic priorities, including getting people back to work here at home. I passed a very similar resolution that originates with the mayor of Eugene, Kitty Piercy. I passed a very similar resolution through the Metro's Economy Committee of last year's U.S. Conference of Mayors. That's the committee that I chair. I want to thank the volunteers at Peace and Justice Works, including Dan Handelman, for their work. And Carla is missing. But as soon as Carla gets back, she will begin calling folks that have signed up to testify on item number 48, which is Bring Our War Dollars Home. First four.
Are David Delk, John Springer, Janice Thompson, and Susan Rankin.
These are Bring Our... No, that's...
Oh, sorry.
Bring
sorry.
Our War Dollars Home.
48.
Keep you on your toes.
Dan Handelman, Ron Williams, Maxine Fuchsen, and Channy Geigel-Teller.
Please come forward. And Carla will also read the following four. So in case you're sitting up in the balcony, that if you hear your name for the following four, please come down and just stand over here.
The next four will be Deb Mayer, Barbara Dudley, Chris Lowe, Tobias Green.
Let's get that.
That's Dan, Ron Williams, Maxine Fuchsen, and Channy Geigel. Channy is missing here.
Call one.
Channy here. Okay, let's go with Deb Mayer then.
Deb Mayer. All right, Mr. Handelman, please begin.
Hi, I'm Dan Handelman with Peace and Justice Works, Iraq Affinity Group. Mayor Adams and members of council, I'm pleased to be here today to support the resolution calling to bring the troops and contractors home from Iraq and Afghanistan and to spend the money instead on human needs. The Iraq Affinity Group has been educating people about the effects of U.S. policy on the people of Iraq since 1992. Next Monday, in addition to being the celebration of Martin Luther King's birthday, it's also the 21st anniversary of the Gulf War Part 1. Today is one day after the 10th anniversary of the opening of the prison camp at Guantanamo Bay, Cuba, another U.S. policy that costs not only money but tarnishes the image of the U.S. worldwide. Our organization has been working with other local groups since August to ask Council to pass a version of the U.S. Conference of Mayors resolution to bring the war dollars home. Peace activists came before you in October before at the communications slot to connect the current financial crisis facing Portland to the money spent on wars and occupations. For those who feel that these votes are only symbolic, we remind you that President Obama's decision to start drawing down troops from Afghanistan came just days after the mayor's conference vote. We have with us today a slate of people representing organizations and professions who can speak to the theme of money for human needs, not war. The resolution speaks of job creation, rebuilding infrastructure, municipal and state governments, sustainable energy, and paying down the national debt. We have speakers to address these issues and specifically the human needs of healthcare, housing, and education. For many years, our group ran a penny poll on tax day, asking people to put 10 pennies representing their tax dollar into jars. There is invariably a large amount in the jars for human needs and paying off the national debt, and a very low amount in the military jar. And we didn't even tell people we were the peace group until after they had taken the poll. The Occupy Wall Street movement has recognized the impact of war on the economy. Occupy Portland endorsed and gave its support to a march marking 10 years since the invasion of Afghanistan, just 9 days after their inaugural event in October. Last month, MarketWatch estimated the Iraq War alone will leave a long-term debt of $4 trillion. It also cost the lives of 4,474 American military members and 160,000 or more Iraqis, and will continue to cost Americans as the U.S. Embassy in Iraq, the largest in the world, with 16,000 personnel, including 8,000 contractors, will use $4 billion in taxpayer money annually. The ongoing war in Afghanistan, which is supposed to end with a full drawdown in 2014, has cost the lives of at least 1,756 American military personnel and untold Afghans at the end of U.S. NATO bombs, drone strikes, and night raids. The Portland's resolution points to an amendment in the military budget passed with bipartisan support by Senator Jeff Merkley, requiring the president to speed up the withdrawal from Afghanistan. Meanwhile, the budgets continue to be cut for schools, jobs, healthcare, housing, the environment, and infrastructure that are badly needed in Portland and around the country, while the top 1% of Americans continue to accumulate wealth. The Iraq Affinity Group would like to make clear that bringing the war dollars home is not a call to abandon Iraq and Afghanistan. America needs to pay to rebuild the infrastructures of those nations and the damage we have done, but the cost should not come with strings attached and should will be far less costly than continuing the current policy of endless warfare and occupation. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Hi, welcome back.
Thank you. Good afternoon. My name is Mayor Adams, Commissioner Fritz, and Commissioner Leonard. My name is Ron Williams. I reside in Portland, and I'm the Executive Director of Oregon Action. Oregon Action is a statewide nonpartisan network of individuals and organizations dedicated to racial, social, and economic justice through individual and group empowerment. I'm here today to express Oregon Action's support for this resolution to bring more dollars home for reinvestment in health care and other services. Health care is a vital need in America and here in Portland. According to the Oregon Health Authority's health insurance survey done last year, there were more than 500,000 Oregonians uninsured during 2011. Approximately 1 in 5 Oregonians, or 14.6% of Oregonians, lacked health insurance in 2011, according to estimates. The U.S. healthcare sector includes more than 780,000 hospitals, doctor's offices, emergency care units, nursing homes, and social services providers, with a combined annual revenue of $2.2 trillion. Investing even half of the $4.4 trillion spent on wars in Iraq, Afghanistan, and Yemen could easily cover the cost of insuring the 50 million uninsured in the United States, including the 500,000 adults and 52,000 children in Oregon. So we support this resolution and urge you to vote in favor of its passage.
Thank you. Hi, welcome.
Thank you for hearing this testimony. My name is Maxine Fuchsen, and I'm here to testify in support of the resolution to bring the war dollars home. I come here wearing the following two hats. My daily work is as a nurse practitioner at a school-based health center where we provide care for some of our community's most vulnerable children. I'm also here representing Oregon Physicians for Social Responsibility, which is the local chapter of an international group working for peace by educating about the health consequences of war. I want to tell you the story about Sarah. Sarah is one of my patients. I changed her name, but it's a true story. This story is one of countless that I could tell that illustrates the obscenity of $1.6 billion of Portland's tax dollars going to the wars in Iraq and Afghanistan. Sarah is 6 years old with very severe autism disorder. She's in a special education classroom in Portland Public Schools. Her father works several low-paying jobs to make ends meet, and her mother stays at home, although she's shared that she would like to find a job, but due to the lack of training programs and no adequate child care for Sarah's special needs after school, this hasn't been possible for her. Last school year, I heard from her teacher that Sarah is very bright and that she could reach so much higher potential with additional intensive after-school services such as physical therapy, speech and language therapy, and behavioral counseling. Sarah's parents have struggled to understand the nature and the extent of her chronic condition and the kinds of health and developmental services that would benefit her. They are extremely concerned, but they have not received support and assistance from agencies to get her the care that she needs. They've told me at times that they're at a loss of what to do. The very services that Sarah needs are exactly the kinds that have been cut back or eliminated due to the budget shortfalls. In the healthcare system where I work, there's no longer funding for community health nurses to case manage families like Sarah's. And in trying to schedule a comprehensive evaluation for her at the autism clinic at OHSU, a publicly funded clinic, I was told that there's a 1-year wait list for appointments due to their budget constraints. So I'm here today, and I want to join with many individuals and groups, such as Oregon Physicians for Social Responsibility, to urge you to add your public voice as our city's leaders to the chorus of Portlanders not wanting our money to buy killing and destruction. Instead, we hold on to the vision that our community's dollars are infinitely better spent, providing a rich array of social and health services to assist citizens like Sarah and her family to live healthy lives and reach their fullest potential. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Hi, welcome.
Hi. My name is Deb Mayer. I want to thank you for inviting this testimony. I am a founding member of Oregon Save Our Schools, and I'm also the director of Great Schools for America and the mother of an Afghanistan war veteran. I was also a teacher until my job in Indiana. I lost my job in Indiana for saying four little words, "I honk for peace," before the war in Iraq began. When I challenged the school in court to get my job back, the Seventh Circuit ruled that teachers have no free speech at school. When the Supreme Court of the United States declined to hear my case in 2007, it cast a chill on free speech across the nation in our schools. While my case was winning its way through court, my son was a naval officer serving as a nuclear engineer on a submarine. Inexplicably, he was yanked from that duty and sent to the war in Afghanistan. He returned home 4 years ago, emotionally scarred, and to this day will not speak of his military experience. Wars hurt children in lots of different ways. When I tell people that story, they invariably say that that should never have happened in America. And I agree. But I think it's only a foreshadowing for so many cruel and inexplicable things that have happened to Americans, especially children, over the past several years. Because of the wars, many children have received an inadequate education. That should never have happened in America. If we believe that well-educated people are our best defense, we must do a better job educating our children. And that means spending money on public education. I would ask the council to reduce class sizes and hire more teachers so that kids can have an excellent education. In reallocating the war dollars, and this is something that's very important to me, I would ask that the money be spent wisely, not simply transferred from private defense contractors abroad to private education contractors here at home, as has happened in so many other places. Our children deserve excellent public schools, and it's high time we invested in them. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you all very much. Appreciate it. How many more are signed up?
We have 13 more.
Okay. We're now moving to the two-minute rounds. The next four will be?
Channy Geigel-Teller, Barbara Dudley, Chris Lowe, and Tobias Green. And they will be followed by Martin Gonzalez, Joe Keating, William Seaman, and Joe Walsh.
Welcome back. Who is the first person?
Hi.
Hi.
Okay. So, sorry I'm late. Good afternoon, fellow Portlanders. Happy New Year. Thank you to the mayor and the commissioners for hearing us today. My name is Shani Geigley-Teller, and I'm a community organizer at Sisters of the Road. And we're here today to lend our support and praise for the resolution to bring the war money home and redistribute it to our communities where the need only keeps growing. Every day at Sisters, we see people and families, veterans and workers, communities of people of color and women and children who have been pushed out to the streets and the shelters and the curbs into their cars after more than 3 decades of our nation's federal housing budgets being slashed. A half a billion or even $1 billion cut here or there may not sound so severe when looked at in isolation, given the size of the overall budget, but when looked at in the 30-year cycle of draconian cuts to our nation's affordable housing programs and the direct correlation of how this has created and continues to perpetuate homelessness, we can better understand and hopefully fight against these continued attacks on the human right to housing. And I just have two figures that I want to share of cuts that have been made during the time that we've been in Iraq and Afghanistan over the last decade. So during this time, 290,588 existing units of public housing and 360,000 Section 8 units have been lost throughout the country during the time that we've been in war for the last 10 years. And then there's been another 7,107 approved for demolition just since March of this year. And then also during that time, HUD funding, since 1996, actually, HUD funding for new public housing units has been zero since 1996. So we've heard you say before that we need more money for local housing from the feds, and we agree. And that's why we're here to say that we agree with this redistribution of money. It's an obvious solution, and we applaud your leadership to show what real people value, what real people need every day. And so in the tradition of Martin Luther King Jr., Dorothy Day, and Gandhi, we call for these community-based, nonviolent solutions to these societal problems. We applaud the work that you're doing. And we also just wanted to say that Martin Luther King Day is Monday, and we wanted to invite you and all of the room to attend our march to call for racial and economic justice.
Thank you very much. And can you give a copy of your testimony?
Absolutely.
Hi, welcome.
Thank you. My name is Barbara Dudley. Thank you for having us here, and thank you for considering this resolution. I'm the co-chair of the Oregon Working Families Party, and I'm here to testify on behalf of the party in favor of this resolution. We're here because the working families of Oregon and of Portland have been asked for 9 years now to send their sons and daughters, husbands and wives, off to fight in these misguided wars in Iraq and Afghanistan, and to pay for those wars with their lives and their tax dollars, while the wealthiest 1% in this country have paid far less than their fair share in taxes and virtually nothing in personal sacrifice. Not only have these wars cost hundreds of billions of dollars every year, money which has come directly out of our state and city budgets for schools, for health care, for police and fire protection, for parks, for roads, for bridges. But far worse than that, these wars have sent us back our wounded, our shell-shocked and war-weary soldiers with no jobs to return to, often no homes, inadequate health care, and colleges where tuition outstrips the GI Bill. I teach at Portland State, and I can tell you there are a number of vets there who are going into debt to get a PSU education, and they get the GI Bill. It's up to the cities. It has been left up to the cities and the counties and the states of this nation to find the funds to build housing for homeless vets, to provide mental health services, and to provide education and jobs. These wars must end, and they have to end for real, not the kind of ending that leaves tens of thousands of troops and so-called contractors behind. A war conducted by mercenaries is still a war. We need to bring all of our men and women home, whether they're guard or army or private army, and we need to redirect those funds and those very prodigious human resources toward rebuilding our own city and our own country. The working families of Oregon deserve nothing less. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Hi, welcome.
Hi. Thank you for hearing my testimony. My name is Chris Lowe, and I'm here today to speak in favor of the resolution on behalf of Portland Jobs with Justice, a community labor coalition of about 90 organizations and trade unions that promotes workers' rights, solidarity among workers, and public policies and laws that benefit working people and their communities. As such, we have long participated in the Portland Peace and Justice Movement. Our view is that war and militarism lead to anti-democratic and authoritarian politics that often turn against working people and their rights. Meanwhile, working people and their families and communities have always disproportionately borne the economic and human costs of war. At the same time, we recognize that working people have been proud to serve their country militarily, and we advocate especially for robust public support of veterans and their families in dealing with economic and war wound issues in reintegrating in domestic life. More recently, in response to the continuing economic crisis, we have taken a stance that what is needed for recovery is good jobs, not cuts. The crisis is fundamentally a jobs crisis. A real recovery cannot be achieved until full employment is restored. Without it, working people will lack the income that drives economic activity, and many will need additional public support. War and militarism have always been bad economic choices. They are physically destructive and wasteful of lives, good, and production. They wreck peaceful trade. Military industries produce unproductive items at best and have smaller effects in civilian products and services, stimulating further jobs growth. But Portland Jobs with Justice believes that the recent and current U.S. wars and the outsized military budget have been especially bad. If the resources wasted on those wars had been available to respond to the economic crisis, many jobs would have been saved. the current budget crises that local governments like yours face might not have been as severe as they've been. The vicious cycle is not over yet, which is why the resolution before you today remains important and timely. Portland Jobs with Justice supports the resolution because we believe that this moment must be seized to redirect ward spending. We welcomed and applauded Mayor Adams' support for the U.S. Conference of Mayors resolution and urge you to follow suit and to follow up with further advocacy at the federal level.
Thank you for your testimony. Hi, welcome.
Hi. My name is Tobias Green, and I am a member of Labor's Local 483. I'm also an organizer with the Northwest Regional Organizing Coalition of Labor's. I come before you today, come before City Council today, to speak in support of this resolution as well. As you know, here in the city of Portland, we are looking at the budget issues that have been created by this war economy in a lot of ways. Certainly, Portland is not an island unto itself and facing many of these issues. The need, we've heard repeatedly that the need for jobs is great. It is not as though there is not work to be done. Within, I believe, in the Maintenance Bureau, I may be incorrect in these figures, but there's almost approximately $500 million in deferred maintenance costs that could put people to work immediately if we had the funds to do so. Bringing home the war dollars immediately and putting those to work in a national jobs program is fundamentally essential. Beyond just Labor's Local 483, our other labor's unions who are in private construction, they are facing a depression-like circumstance and are desperately needing the work. So again, I want to say that this step forward, I want to applaud Council and in particular Mayor Adams for taking this step forward. We need more. We need more cities to get on board. We need the Congress to get on board. And this type of thing really shows that here at the local level, we can actually work to achieve these things. I want to finish by saying that Labor's Local 483 does support all the other interests here that need funding, that this is a crisis that goes 360 degrees. Thank you.
Thank you for your testimony. Thank you all. Next four.
Our Martine Gonzalez, Joe Keating, William Seaman, and Joe Walsh. And they'll be followed by Richard Wood, Georgia Pinkle, Jenny Feldman, and Richard Gill.
Welcome. Welcome back, Mr. Gonzalez. Glad to see you. Would you like to begin?
Mayor Adams, council members. Martin Gonzalez, a board member of Portland Public Schools. I'm here as an individual elected to the board. I think it's wanted to commend you for considering this resolution to bring, you know, the military contractors and military personnel in reinvesting those resources at home. I think it's imperative that as elected officials we continue to raise our voices with those of the community that have been calling for years for that investment of resources, better investment of resources in our communities. As I sat here listening to the folks, I am reminded of the fact that I think wars, you know, I think it was mentioned, it hurts children. It hurts young people that in many ways return back and come back home to not find the adequate resources in our communities to support them. At the time that you know, these wars go on, you know, there have been some serious cutbacks to the social services that are needed, you know, for people coming back home. The war never ends in that way. As a member of the Portland Public School Board, I am constantly reminded of the fact that we continue to have to face budget cuts that will have an impact on the education that many people spoke of to here today and the importance of that education for our children. And it is imperative, I think, that we continue to call on not only our president but on our Congress to pay attention to those things and to actually make better use of the resources. I am always reminded of the slogan that we used, I think, you know, for many years, you know, money for jobs, social services, and education, not for war and occupation. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Gonzalez.
Hi. I'm Joe Keating. I'm the Issues Coordinator for Oregon Wildlife Federation, and would like to thank you for allowing this proposal to come forward. and are very much in support of it. It's a it's an important step that you take. We recognize small steps these days all throughout the world, through from Egypt to Occupy to everywhere you look, the sense of change is taking place in a way that can't be definable. It's more like a thousand points, pinpoints, that are accumulating at any one particular point in time. And change is among us. And proposals like this can happen much quicker than you think. And being out front as a city, providing leadership and courage for that to take place is important. And we commend you for that. The proposal essentially is talking to the wisdom of allocation of resources as a country. We cannot do what we have done for years and years and years, and that's the foolishness of continued wars. We look around our country and we see the need for all the things that are being spoken to today. That's now type of money and needs. Today I speak to the environment and the need for a wise allocation of resources away from the wars to helping the environment, the planet that we live on. I shudder every day when I wake up and I know that the planet that I'm on, I'm not leaving it as well as it was when I was born. It's not to be. What we can do with those monies is we can create a very clear, sustainable economy based upon energy independence and jumpstart all the necessary things to get energy independence, not from rhetoric, but into real time. And that can be done if the proper amount of resources were allocated to it.
So I need you to wrap up.
Yes.
The bell rang.
The answer is let's do it, and we can. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Keating. Good to see you. Hi. Welcome back.
Hi. I'm William Seaman. I work with the Portland Peaceful Response Coalition here in Portland. Members of the Council, thank you for considering this resolution calling for a speedy withdrawal of U.S. military as well as private contractors from Afghanistan and Iraq. The Portland Peaceful Response Coalition strongly supports this resolution and hopes that it will pass unanimously to send a clear and emphatic message to the White House and Congress. Our country's priorities must radically shift away from indulging the discredited traditions of militarism and violence to traditions that today languish, traditions of caring for those least fortunate among us, of solidarity, traditions of human uplift, traditions of encouraging and creating opportunities for people to live full, meaningful lives without fear, without the fear of a substandard education for our children, without the fear of being bankrupted by medical bills, without the fear of not being able to find the means to support ourselves and our families. Here today, I do wish to take issue only with the accuracy of the resolutions crediting the Obama administration with ending the U.S. war in Iraq. That war is not yet over, and the decision to withdraw U.S. troops is best understood not as a result of the administration efforts to bring the conflict to an end, but rather as the result of the Iraq government's refusal to grant continued immunity from prosecution to U.S. soldiers remaining there. And that refusal itself is best understood as a direct consequence of the release of documents and videos by way of the whistleblowing website WikiLeaks. There is a young man accused of being responsible for releasing those documents. His name is Bradley Manning, and he faces a very long prison term from a military trial that has been grossly unfair. We hope that today, if we are able to celebrate the passing of this resolution, that we will be thinking of this very courageous young man when we consider who we should be grateful to for this long overdue and modest achievement. Thank you.
Thank you for your testimony. Thank you all. Oh, sorry. Our fourth assistant.
My name is Joe Walsh. I represent Individuals for Justice and also represent the Oregon Progressive Party. I'm here today to speak to for myself. I came here to speak to those two organizations. However, this resolution troubles me, and I can't endorse it, because you start off with the premise that the war in Iraq is over. It is not over. All of the legitimacies that brought us into Iraq are still in operations. The President of the United States at any time can move the troops back. He doesn't have to ask anybody. The troops that were in Iraq, many of them were moved to Kuwait. The troops that are coming home are being reassigned to Afghanistan. It is my understanding that what the embassy in Iraq, the biggest embassy in the world, the size of it's compared to Vatican City, we have 20,000 people still in Iraq. And the only reason we don't have 20,000 troops in uniform is the Iraqi government said no. We wanted to do it. And we still have the authority to do it. Otherwise, Obama would have been impeached, Bush would have been impeached. And you seem to believe that the war is over. Well, let me remind you of another president that told us the war was over. May 1st, 2003, President Bush landed on a carrier, stood under a banner that said, mission accomplished, and bragged that the war was over. And yet you believe another president who says the war is over. It is not. And I pray I'm wrong. I want to be wrong so much. This resolution has a lot of good points, and people in this room are really looking forward to the money coming back to schools and stuff. For the next 5 years, we will not see any money saved by what's happening in Iraq. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Walsh. Thank you all. No clapping. Remember, for those of you that arrived late, you're welcome to do thumbs up, thumbs down, wiggly of the hands, jazz down. For those of you that arrived late, there's no noise.
The next four, please come on up, are Richard Wood, Georgia Pinkle, Jenny Feldman, and Richard Gill. And then the last person who signed up is Roger, I believe the last name is Wellman, maybe?
Okay. All right, yeah, those last two, come on down or come around anytime. Hi, welcome, glad you're here.
Hi, I'm Dr. Virginia Feldman. Thank you for listening to us, and I urge you to support this resolution with, of course, some additions. I speak with two hats also. One is a retired pediatrician who worked in North Portland amongst the disadvantaged people for 30 years. I now am retired and work almost full time in both places like Essential Clinic and Wallace, where particularly the working poor come to see us because they have zero medical care. And I personally took care of a person who worked with me who recently passed away because he had no medical care and did not get his cancer taken care of. So there's a great need out there. The other great need, as a pediatrician, I urge you to remember that literacy is a health issue. If we can bring some of those war dollars home, we can maybe keep our libraries going. The other part of my hat that I wear is a member of an organization called Lutherans for Justice in the Holy Land. I'm not a lobbyist for them. We don't have any money. As a member of that. And as others have talked to you, I urge you to think of war as more than how many soldiers are in Iraq. For instance, in the last 10 years, we have spent, Oregon has spent $289 million sending military aid to Israel. No matter how you think of those various positions, that also is war. Military aid is war. So I'd urge you to expand our thought of, is it only Iraq, is it only Afghanistan, but to think of war as war, and the military complex is the way, if we can get rid of that, that's the way we get our dollars home. Thank you.
Thank you, Doctor. Hi, welcome.
My name is Richard Wood. I am an ex-Marine. I was in the service right after Vietnam and have watched what we've called wars go on since that war, and we haven't had a war. This is semantics that's being played, and the war is not over because it's not a war to begin with. Congress never officially declared war. So we have a game of semantics going on that we're using to divide this nation and the people over what are wars. We've got a war on drugs. Let's include that money back into the conversation and get it back into the citizenship where it belongs. These things are drugs are a symptom of something else going on. We're not dealing with, we're ignoring. The homeless people are a symptom of something else going on. So this is all very important, but I have to agree, this war is not over. They are not done with it. It is still going on. We aren't going to save any money in the near future. I would argue the wars were illegal, and we had a criminal for a president. That's my feelings, but I hate this word war and the way we're using it. It's not fair. There's no war on drugs. There's no war out. The world is not at war. We are fighting people over their wealth. We want to extract their minerals. We want to extract the money from those nations, and that seems to be the intent. So I ask that this word war be partially removed from the – it's about the money. It is the money, and it's who wants it, and that's what's guiding this. So I thank you for the time, and I thank the previous speakers.
Thank you, sir. Hi.
Hi, Georgia Pinkle. I'm here on behalf of Women's International League for Peace. I'm the local convener, and I sit on the national board. I would just like to remind all of us of Wilf's 97-year tradition of trying to get people to understand war builds nothing, and it destroys or corrupts everything and everybody involved. It also falls unfairly on women and children, whether in the field of battle or the originating army, so to speak. We need to be aware that the militarization of a community is damaging. It institutionalizes violence and oppression and fear. I will commend to you this book, War is Not Over When It's Over, by Ann Jones. And she has gone through various areas of conflict and dealing with gender violence and how to overcome it. I also recommend that you bone up on the UN resolutions, starting with 1325 and going all the way through 1880, I believe, around women's role both before wars and negotiating the peace after wars. If we don't sit at the table, our needs are not met, and we suffer the violence that becomes institutionalized. So remember the women and children, both here and at home. They're dealing with the warriors coming home wounded. We need to support those families. We need to support the women whose lives we've destroyed in the other countries. Thank you.
Thank you very much for your testimony. Hi, welcome. I like your sweatshirt.
Thank you. Mayor Adams, and Ms. Fritz, Mr. Leonard, thank you for allowing me to come here. The shirt is Jefferson High School. There's a woman who named Frances Widener who has passed on. Her husband was named Leo Widener. He was assistant chief of the fire department here. They raised four sons on 3526 Southeast Franklin Street. One of those sons, when you speak of war, helped to create something in 1978 called automatic parsing. Without automatic parsing, the very computers that we use today wouldn't work the way they do. They allowed back then the ability of a computer to speak, to know the commands of the human brain. And that allowed, Bill Gates said in one of his books, when that was taken from Mr. Widener at the time, the internet really took off. He's the creator of the local area network with which Ray Norda, and Microsoft are right now interlocked into a major battle, a lawsuit over. This man was responsible for helping to prevent war. He was responsible through his mother, Frances Widener, and Leo Widener's guidance to be able to raise another four sons here. One of them is probably a thorn in your side very much, named Roger Widener, but he means well. His mother also raised him as an attorney. Now, I'm here today because I want to share with you, in 2001, I had signed a transaction, a financial transaction, with a place called Classic Trolley. War dollars versus technology dollars are what we're talking about today. Oregon has the ability to have technology. We have solar technology. We have Intel. President Obama's come here a couple different times. I was able to meet him when he came to the convention center. We have water technology. We have export technology. We have language inventors who Bruce has created the fastest way to learn a new language. Excuse my time, sir. Automatic parsing is one of the things that will help education. A double-load education to be put into Oregon's educational system would allow children to learn Spanish part of the day, English the other half of the day. This is where the Mormons have excelled. It's not the religion, and I'm not one, but it's not religion. It was the educational process. If we mimic that educational process, like the chancellor for Oregon's schools, universities stated, Oregon will realize some of the most and the best economic and educational opportunities ever realized. We owe that to the young people, our posterity. As Mr. White always tells me, we owe that to make sure that Oregon is not just a place of political incorrectness. I was told 3 months prior to the stadium deal being announced that we were not going to get that. Now, I tell you, I was told that we were politically incorrect. I was questioned by the same people that approved that $10 million transaction
in 2001. So I need you to wrap up.
Let me wrap up. We have an opportunity here to be an example for the future. Let's do this by redirecting the war dollars through technology so that our young people are not shooting each other on the street, but are involving themselves in math and science in Oregon. That's the future that I see for Oregon.
Well said. Thank you for your testimony.
Could you give me your name again, please?
My name is Richard Gill.
Thank you.
So does that cover everyone who signed up?
We have one more person, Richard. I'm not sure the last name. I believe the address is on Southeast Franklin. Oh, there you are.
Mr. Richard.
Thank you, Mayor. Commissioners, I've spoken before you to you before. My name is Roger Widener. I'm a former attorney, public prosecutor. I was the director of the Consumer Fraud Department years ago. And I was in the 101st Airborne Division a long time ago. I was fortunate I didn't have to go off to war. But I've studied history, and I've studied for the last 100 years, since the Spanish-American War, this country has been constantly involved in these wars. And they're not publicized, they're not talked about, but this is what people have to understand. George Washington, our president, warned us against these entangling alliances. And what has happened is they've just been able to keep the citizens dumbed down and uninformed about this. Thank God now for the internet that people are awake and are speaking out like this group is here today. And so I've spoken to you before on these corruption issues, but on this war issue and the devastating impact that is having is just something that has to stop. And the one thing that you commissioners can focus on, that I've been focusing on, is that the people have remedy. That when they're injured, that they have remedy. That they can go into a courtroom and to get remedy. That's what I've been fighting for all these years, Commissioner, is so that the public officials. You are public officials. You have duties of your job. We, the citizens, we have rights. And when those rights are being run over and people are not being, our rights are not being observed, you have all of this commotion that is going on the Occupy movement. So I encourage you to keep this kind of openness and this kind of dialogue with the public so that we can have a safe environment where people who are injured, who have had something wrongfully taken, can have remedy. And I thank you again for having this event. Thank you so much.
Thank you, sir, very much.
Yes.
All right, that gets us to our last testifier. Carla, can you please call?
That was him, sorry.
What?
It was him.
Yeah. Can you please call the vote?
Did we move on the substitute? Or?
Oh, I'm sorry. Move the substitute for, this is for item 48?
Yes.
Move the substitute.
Second.
Been moved and seconded.
What's the change?
The change in the substitute, Carla, is?
Are you sure that's not the next one?
I think that's the next.
The next one.
I had one for both.
Okay. I'm not
sure. What's the change? Oh, it's some Scribner's error. Scribner's error on item number 48.
What's the name? Adding both Iraq and Afghanistan.
I do not
in that line.
Okay.
And
so it adds, it makes mention of both Iraq and Afghanistan in the 2, 4, 6, 8 ninth whereas.
Yeah.
And then the addition of language that in the second, be it further resolved, that the City Council ask the President continue to remove military contractors and reduce the United States footprint in Iraq. These suggested clarifications and improvements were offered by Mr. Handelman, and those were at everybody's council offices. That's the substitution.
I move the substitution.
So it's been moved and seconded. Carla, can you please call the vote on the motion to substitute?
Fritz?
I believe this does address some of the concerns we heard in testimony in adding the language that it was resolved. The Portland City Council asked for the President to continue to remove military contractors and reduce the United States footprint in Iraq, in addition to the other improvements. Aye.
Leonard?
Aye.
Adams?
Aye. Substitution is approved. Can you please call the vote on the substituted resolution?
Fritz?
Well, thanks to Mayor Adams and to everybody in the community who asked us to consider this resolution and to everybody who came and gave such eloquent testimony. Thank you to all of our military veterans and to the families of military veterans who are here today. Without your service and your ongoing commitment to peace, we would not be the country that we are, and I greatly appreciate it. Martin Luther King Jr. said, "We must concentrate not merely on the negative expulsion of war, but on the positive affirmation of peace." And that's what we're doing today, is positively affirming peace and recognizing that if our federal tax dollars were not being spent on the apparent violence, that we would have funding for education and housing and health care and many of the other things that are sorely lacking in our society today. So thank you very much for supporting this resolution. Aye.
Leonard?
I believe it was John Quincy Adams, the son of our second president, who himself was a president of the United States, that said words to the effect, I'm sure people will Google and find out the exact quote, but it was words to the effect that the best way for the United States to influence other nations is to set a good example. And those are words that I think accurately reflect my own sense of what our foreign policy should be dictated by, that is, setting examples and not going to not only other countries but to other cultures to somehow try to get them to parrot our form of government, because as we've witnessed over the centuries, it doesn't work. But I try to balance that also with knowing that the citizens in this country also have the right to traverse this country, to travel to other countries unmolested, and have the right to not fear being indiscriminately murdered simply because they're Americans. I'm not going to sit here and tell you what that balance is, because people a lot smarter than myself have attempted to find that. But certainly the example of the ongoing war in Afghanistan and certainly the invasion of Iraq are not the balance that I would think we would try to achieve to provide us security while staying out of other countries' affairs and imposing our form of government on them. So I appreciate the work that has gone into this. I appreciate greatly, I think, the work that our president does to try to balance all of these various concerns and issues, particularly being handed two wars that not only were started by a predecessor, but compounded by his predecessor cutting taxes for the wealthiest in this country. At the same time, we are leading two major fronts is just beyond appalling to me, which I think also this resolution gets to as well. We hear those who talk about balancing the budget somehow thinking that it's okay to support egregious military activities while at the same time fighting any attempt to get the wealthy in this country to pay their fair share of what those costs are. So with that, I will include my thanks as well to everybody who has worked on this, and particularly Senator Merkley. Aye.
Adams.
Well, I want to thank my colleagues for their consideration and support of this resolution. Again, I want to thank Eugene Mayer, Kitty Piercy, and all the groups that have been involved with this. We were the first city council in a very long time that passed a resolution soon after, I think I was a commissioner still, thanking the men and women who serve us, who are in the service around the world, and also for their families that we seek to support. This combined and reiterated here in this resolution was passed by the U.S. Conference of Mayors, and I think it had a palpable impact on the national discussion. I think it helped my own sort of personal intuition. I think it helped move the administration to move faster on the reduction and withdrawal in Iraq, and I hope that the continuation of the announced withdrawal in Afghanistan happens as early as possible, as responsibly as possible. So I want to thank Jennifer Yocum in my office. I want to thank the Peace and Justice Works for bringing this to us, and I'm pleased to vote aye. Resolution is approved. We're going to take a four-minute compassion recess. We'll be back at on the hour at 3 o'clock. I just don't have the bladder.